You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers there reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
The young man makes up his mind to work. There's no limit to what he can do.
This is truly the next chapter in General Motors' recovery and turnaround.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
80 years ago, our nation experienced its first wave of Batmania. And no, it was not caused by the comic book hero. Bruce Wayne was still a few years away from being created. Rather, the country's imagination was captured by winged daredevils like Michigander Clem Sohn. Daredevils who would jump out of planes wearing a flying suit. And the plan was to glide back down to earth and pull that parachute cord at the last possible moment to impress crowds at air shows. So here now to talk about our state's history, as we do every Wednesday, Mark Harvey and Rachel Clark, our partners at the Michigan History Center. So let's start at the very beginning. Michigan's Birdman, Clem Sohn. Where in Michigan is he from?
He's from Fowler, Michigan, which is just north of Lansing, small farming community. Beautiful place, just not where you would expect the flying Batman to come from. So he wound up coming into Lansing and graduated from Lansing Eastern High School.
And what time are we talking about?
In the late 1920s, yes. He graduated from Lansing School.
All right. Just about the time that airplanes were becoming, you know, something that people accepted and got, but still it was thrilling to see airplanes. Do we know how Clem Sohn got involved in this new technology of aircraft to become an aerial daredevil?
From what we've read, he crossed paths with the local aviator Art Davis, who did lots of interesting things. In fact, we have a photo collection where he has some promotional shots of a dog in a biplane with goggles on top of his head. So he was early aviation pioneer. This is right along the time when Capital City Airport opened up in Lansing. And we're getting close to the time when Lindbergh has finished his flight and he has Michigan roots. So this is a big deal, especially in Michigan. And so he crossed paths with Art Davis and gets involved in aviation.
And these aviation daredevil shows, I remember the movie The Great Waldo Pepper. So, I mean, they were happening all across the country where people would come out. And what would happen at these daredevil shows?
A lot of times what would happen is you would have a jumper who would come out of planes and parachute, or you would have aeronautics of a plane. So as time went on, you see more people who, like Clem Sohn, were jumping out of planes, parachuting, doing free falls and things of that nature.
I know I've seen pictures of the wing walkers, and you think I could never in a million years do that. Plus, as you say, all the circles and the loop-de-loops and things that the pilots would do. So it is something. If you look at Clem's flying suit, it truly looks like something out of a Jules Verne novel. Basically, two large wings that spread out when he raises his arms and connected cloth between his pant legs. And it almost seems like he took a look at a bird and said, well, you know, if it works for that bird, it ought to work for me. What do we know about how and when he designed his suit?
The suit that he originally designed was about 4 feet wide, 4 or 5 feet wide, and about 2 feet tall. And it is steel tubing with heavy canvas wrapped around it. So you have a steel tubing sort of skeleton with canvas wrapped around it. So that's one part of his suit. And then the other part is a pair of twill or canvas pants with a piece of material between his legs to act the same as a bird tail. Between the two things, he could steer, he could float for a while, and those were the things that he used to entertain audiences.
Built for strength, not for lightness. Like, it's not like a bird's bones are hollow and light. Clem's suit was heavy and strong.
Yes.
I just think about the first tests, like what it took to say, okay, let's see if this works. I mean,
right. Here we go.
There was no, you couldn't get on and do any computer-aided design back then to kind of have all the numbers tell you, yes, this should work or yes,
yeah,
this shouldn't.
Yeah, I wonder if he got up on his garage and jumped off like kids
sure.
do with umbrellas. Probably,
I know he would throw flour bags out of the plane to see for drop speed and where the flour would land. I don't know what that told him, but I did read about him throwing sacks of flour out of the plane.
So how high would they be? And he would jump, and then at some point, he'd have to pull his parachute. So
for the shows that he did, they would fly about 10,000 feet in and around, and then he would jump at 10,000 feet. He had two parachutes. He had his main chute and then his secondary chute. And he, depending on, you know, conditions and all that, he would wait until he was about 1,000 feet or less from the ground before he would pull his chute.
We're all cringing here.
Shaking my head.
And he debuted this suit in 1935. How fast did it become a national sensation?
It became a national sensation pretty quickly. After he successfully did a jump, I think it was in Daytona, you have people who are attempting to copy him. There was actually an unfortunate incident of a young man from Flint who attempted to copy Clem's jump about a month later, and his chute got caught in his wings, and he ended up killed at Bishop Airport. But you do have other people who are jumping and successful. But Clem held a world record for the longest dive before he pulled his chute. It was 18,500 feet.
And they would compete, right?
Yes,
you're
they
saying,
would.
Yeah.
It would be float time as well as distance before you pull your chute.
And was this also becoming a thing in Europe?
It was. He actually ended up performing in England, and then his final performance was actually in Paris or outside Paris.
Now that you mention his final performance, one might suspect, not a big reach to think maybe this Clem Sound story did not end happily. So what became of Clem and his final jump?
As his popularity increased and then he had that world record, he was invited to France to perform. He and Art Davis were taking a ship over, and actually the story is they were delayed by weather. And so by the time they got there, Clem did not have a chance to check his chutes. And the theory is that the chutes got very damp. And so he jumped. He appeared to be doing all right for a while. And then when it came time to pull his chute, neither his primary nor secondary chute deployed, or they didn't fill. And so he ended up falling in front of about 1,000 spectators.
Okay. And I know there's actually an old British newsreel
footage of that,
which I watched. You have to think, would these competitions even be allowed today? Because it kind of seems like an aerial version of Russian roulette.
There are actually a couple international competitions. Red Bull sponsors one. They are wingsuit competitions. They're called a bunch of different things. But essentially, it's the same design as Clemson's original suit. It's just better materials. And they have various competitions for, again, speed and distance and aeronautics. And
Clem died this week in France 80 years ago. But we have to stop and think that, Batman was not around at the time. You wonder how much inspiration. And then when we think of cartoons we grew up with.
Yes. In looking at photos of Clem Sohn in his suit, I'm reminded of Wile E. Coyote's Acme bat suit that he purchases. And it's actually a successful suit for him. It's one of the few items from Acme that he gets that actually works for him. He just
Rachel
doesn't
and I
use it
had
well.
A great historical conversation about the linkages between Clem Sohn and Wile E. Coyote.
Mm-hmm. And so there's certainly no reason that the animators would not have been inspired by what they saw of Clem.
They would have been youngsters at the time of Clem's jumps.
Well, Clem Sohn, you've given us something to talk about. Again, 80 years ago this week, Clem Sohn made his final jump, and that was over France. Michigan History Center's Rachel Clark and Mark Harvey, thank you so much for sharing this piece of Michigan's history with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.